This call is being recorded.
Are you all able to hear Tim? Whatever that was, it sounded like a piece of yes or something. We'll try one more time. Are you all able to hear Tim?
Yes.
Okay, great. I want to make sure. Let's go ahead and we'll get started. Okay, just one half breath. And now,
watch for the solid rain.
Okay. Most gracious Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before your presence. And thank you for your blessed word, which is able to not only build us up, but to give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you for allowing us to come into what we call in America, the new year. And thank you for allowing us this night that we can go into your word and extract from it what's in there, not exhaustively, but definitely to see what your revealed word is for us. Help us as we go through it to benefit from it. Forgive us of any of our sins, any transgressions that we have, and cause us to walk before you in wisdom, honor, and sanctification. Tonight, I think we're going to have a good message. If I don't mess it up, the message is good. Okay, it's not dependent upon me to be a good message. The message is already good. And since the message is already good, let me tell you what's laid out for us tonight. We have a king in this message tonight, and his name is David. And David has made a resolution. David has made a resolution to walk before God in righteous judgment. He's determined to walk before God in such a way that the people in his family, his nation, benefits because he's going to reflect the character and nature of God. And since this is January 1, 2019, let's look at what David has determined to do so that he can rule for Yah in integrity. And let's see what it is we can do that we can rule our lives and those that are under our judgment or under our supervisions, that we can reflect Yah's judgment and righteousness in the land. Tonight's message will be how to set a resolution to serve Yah with integrity. Well, as we look in this first verse, it says a psalm of David. This is a psalm or a song that David has so that the people can hear it, look at it, benefit from it, and it can be in their worship service. It's not going to be one of those kind where you say, I love you, Lord, 40 times, or come on, Lord, or I lift my hands up 40 times. This is going to be a psalm that an individual can sing, and when that individual sings that, he's going to not only receive instruction, but if he means it from his heart, it's going to make Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, happy. Listen to it. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Yahweh, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his nation, his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy the wicked off the land, that I may cut off wicked doers from the city of Yahweh. I don't usually do this, but every now and then I do. So tonight I'm going to read it again from the New American Standard Bible. It's so good. I want you to make sure, because it had words like privately in there, and I wanted you to be able to see it in this text. I will sing of the loving kindness and judge and justice. To you, O Lord Yahweh, I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look or an arrogant heart will I endure. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. But he who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning will I destroy the wicked off the land, so as to cut off from the city of Yahweh all who do iniquity. Now, the scripture don't say Selah right there, but I feel like a Selah. Let the trumpets and let the cymbals blast and let the noise go. You know, wow. How to make a resolution to be steadfast and walk with integrity before Yahweh. Now, we got to understand, we want to look at what was being said, who was saying it, why it was being said. Then I want to touch on, we do know that this will be fulfilled in the Lord, Yeshua, but I want to bring it home to us. 2019. How do you want to walk before Yah in 2019? Do you want to walk the way you've been walking? Do you want to grow? I mean, let's think about it. If you don't want to grow and you hadn't grown from last year, I mean, how many books did you read last year? I'm talking about books of the Bible. Be honest. How many books did you read to help you understand the Bible last year? How many people did you really talk to that didn't like what you wanted to hear so that you could promote Yahweh's kingdom? How many people did you help that were down and out and they were in different kind of religions, but they asked you questions and you said, well, you're just going to go to hell? How many times did you mistreat your family this year for those that are under you? Did you walk before Yahweh in integrity? Had you died last night, would you at this moment be a happy person or not? But David had these kind of issues. Because see, before a king ever came out of Abraham's loins, God had already told him kings will come out of you, kings of nations. So here's one of the fulfillments of that. Because as Gary Merritt is teaching, usually on Tuesday night, we switched, so I took his Tuesday, and guess what? He took my Thursday. He's been teaching in this book of Samuels and the kings. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, they determined to have a king. God gave them what they wanted. They wanted a king that looked good to go in and out before them. God gave them that king. His name was Saul. Saul did not walk before Yahweh in integrity. Saul walked in a proud and an arrogant way, loved his position, loved his power, used his power to maintain power, did religious things, and often when he was doing the religious things, he didn't really care about the things of God, tried to use the prophet to prop up his name. In his own house, he condemned his own son, Jonathan, who was doing righteously and godly and wanted to walk before his father in integrity, allowed men that were wicked and ungodly to be before him, and they killed the priest of God, 85 of them. So now David has been on the throne, and he has made a resolution. How is it that I will serve Yahweh? Those that are familiar, Deuteronomy chapter 17, I may have to teach that again. It looks like some kind of way it got dismissed off of our podcast. Really bothers me. I'll talk about it whenever I do it, why it bothers me so much. But the way the king was supposed to rule was to make his throne exactly like Yahweh's throne, in righteousness, judgment, truth, which would bring loving kindness. Why do you say would bring loving kindness? To the victim. When judgment is executed on the perpetrator, that's the mercy and the loving kindness of Yah. And the loving kindness of Yah is to maintain righteousness before his people. So David says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. I will sing of loving kindness. And this is what my song would be. I know when I was a boy, we used to sing this song. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We would sing that. But did we really do it? I mean, sometimes you might. But can you understand if you have a nation of people that God said would be the head and not the tail, and that all nations are to come to you to learn judgment according to Deuteronomy chapter 4? People look to you whenever things go wrong like they look to Moses to have justice done, because people violate God's justice. And listen to me, when they violate God's justice, you don't stand a chance unless God vindicates you. No one can steal from you. No one can try to take your wife, your boyfriend, molest your child, steal your money, unless they violate God. Because it's first to be dealt with God on a vertical level. God is dealing with you. You are dealing with him. And then you have neighbors on the one-to-one basis. And on the one-to-one basis, when you violate them, if you disobey God first, you got first to deal with this, because you weren't supposed to violate those who entrusting him for justice. And now you got to get it back right with him. David said, in my kingdom, I will sing of mercy. I will sing of just judgment, because I know what God's words say. I know how to judge the murderer. I know how to judge the rapist. I know how to judge the thief. I know how to judge those that when they find something that's not theirs, who to give it to. I know how to judge those that try to change God's Sabbath. I know how to judge those that blaspheme. If you read Exodus chapter 20, 1, 2, and 3, you'll get an idea of what David knew. Then you look at the 17th through the 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, you get a clue. So he said, I'm singing of it. And he says, unto Yahweh I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. In other words, New American Standard Bible says, I will give heed to the blameless way. It's blameless to do it like God say. He says, when will you come to me? I'm going to do it like you said, but I still need you. I can read. I can give my heart. I can make my resolution to live in this kind of way. When will you come to me? I come before you. You are the invisible God that's always here. You are the God that's full of power, that fight against the gods of the other nation. And you've allowed me to win many battles. I know you. I've heard you come across the top of the trees. I've heard you. I've seen you make my hands to be able to fight. You made my feet, he said, like hinds' feet. I don't fall when we're fighting. And then you taught my hands how to war. Can you imagine? Wonder what kind of war he was doing. I wonder what it'd be like, that UFC kind of stuff. Don't know. But he said, you made my hands war. Then he says, I will walk within my house in a perfect heart. I will walk within my heart, my house, in the integrity of my heart. David understands the first thing, the first law of business. In order to walk, to make a resolution to walk before Yahweh with integrity, is what are you doing in your house? How are you treating your children? Are you teaching them the way of Yah? David is the king. All of your children are going to be princes. And they're going to be, what do you say, princesses. And they're going to be in a position of authority, and they're going to be regal. They're going to represent you. But you are supposed to represent me, because you have a higher position than other people. You're not better. Deuteronomy 17 said, don't lift yourself above your brethren. But your position of authority is to execute my judgment in the land, so that my loving kindness can be shown, so that the terror of the wicked will be upon their own heads, and their blood will be on their own heads when they do bloodshed. But in my house, I must know how to rule. I must know how to show loving kindness to all of my children. I must know how to treat my wife. David got outside of God's will and married more than one. It wasn't a righteous deed that David did. Don't play with me when you say God told David when he messed with Bathsheba, I would have gave you such and such. The Bible tells me that Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, in Matthew chapter 19 says, in the beginning, it was not so that they put away their wives. He made them male and female. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That means it was supposed to be one marriage, one family, one kingdom on earth. Every family, listen to me, every family represents a kingdom. Every family represents an ethnic group. If you extrapolate it out, you would see, even when you read in the Bible, the word in the Old Testament for nations is goyeh. When you read in the New Testament, the word is ethnos. We get the word ethnicity from. He says, in my house, this is important, I will behave myself wisely and in integrity. I'm not going to be lying to my children. I'm not going to lie to my wife. I'm not going to be looking at porn, masturbating. Yes, I said masturbating. We're in 2019 and I can't tell the truth. And you watch BET, you watch Netflix, you listen to music. It's time for us to take the blinders off and tell the truth and tell it loud. I rode up and down Buford Highway today, and all these massage parlors are open. And many times those massage parlors are open, and men that are in there, and a lot of those women are being trafficked. And that man can go back to his home and act like he's in integrity, but you're going home defiled. No telling what kind of bacterium or disease or communicable whatever you bring into your wife. In your home, you walk in integrity. You honor her as the vessel that God says. You don't give your children over to the educational system and you do nothing. You don't let people that don't love God be the only ones telling your children how to live, what to think about creation, what to think about justice, what to think about sexuality, what to think about what's right, what's wrong, what truth is. You don't abdicate your responsibilities and relinquish them, give them to someone else. In integrity in your home, your hands on. Your hands on. And then you're supposed to model that integrity so that others could see. You're teaching young boys how to be husbands. You're teaching young girls, you and your wife, but when you as the man, you're teaching her what to expect from a man. And he says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way or in integrity. When will you come unto me? You know you need God to help you to do all these things. And he said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What do you mean? That word wicked, if you look behind the English, is Belial. I will set no worthless.
I will set no evil. I will set no evil agenda. I will set no ungodly agenda, no secular agenda, no pornography, no slander, no backbiting, no idols in my house, whether it's a Buddha, whether it's a Krishna, whether it's a Christmas tree. If you don't like me saying it, prove that I'm wrong. Prove it. That's all I'm asking. Then I'll drop it. You know how people walk something back? I'll walk it back. But the main point is, don't be attached to the different elements of religions. God, I got all kind of books in here about religion. The cult, cultic, Greek mystery religion, Indian religion, Satanism. I got a lot of books to see what people believe and what they say. Because I wanted to be, as I was growing up, someone that could give answers, because I grew up in a church that when we wanted to have answers about the things of God, sexuality, and what was going on, they would have a meeting and they said, we're going to table it. We're going to table it. We'll talk about that next time. We're going to table it. And we'd have bubblegum answers and everybody would go and do their own thing. Okay? The real world doesn't operate like that. He says, so I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And that will include a lot of the stuff on the news. A lot of times the news lie. They lie. And if you don't think that they lie, sometimes when a person kills a cop, the cop is right and they'll make him wrong. Sometimes the cop will be wrong and they'll make him right. And if you have not determined in your heart that I want to walk in integrity in my home before I start lambasting somebody, when I start tearing somebody's character down in my home, then you're not doing this. But if you resolve in your mind, it's not who, it's not what, it's not the position, it's not whether I like you or not, but it boils down to, Father, what is right? In my home, I've been given the position as the man. My wife has been given the position to assist me, to help me promote your kingdom. And sometimes that might mean, listen, this is a hard one. Let me get my mind right. It's gonna be hard. Sometimes it means, Tim, shut up. Sometimes it means, Tim, listen. Sometimes it means, Tim, you're not right on this one. In the other situation, it was right, but it's not the right thing to do for this. To walk in integrity will mean that there are times that because you care more about righteous judgment and justice, that you need some counsel or you need some help from your mate. Else, why do you have one? I mean, seriously, God is the one set that up. And it says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. So here's what David determined to do. I want the presence of God. I resolve to have the presence of God with me. I resolve to praise Yah for his judgment. I resolve that what I'm going to do in my house first, I'm going to be the man that I am when I'm outside. I'm going to be faithful to Yah in my house. Then he says, I'm going to watch what I watch, what I set before me to look up to. Then he determines, I'm going to hate the work of them that turn aside. I'm going to hate the work of certain movies. I'm going to hate the work of certain movies. Do you think that it's a good thing to watch a movie where they show a man that stands up for a people that have been destroyed and hurt, and he stands up and want to fight, that he's made the villain? Do you think that that's a good thing, that they raise another person from the dead using divination? Do you think that this is something that y'all wanted? So you cross your chest and say, Wakanda forever? Look at what you're watching. These things are real. That's why you see a lot of movies with pentagrams. That's why you see a lot of Satanism. That's why you see things with Baphomet. These things are not fake, because the Bible speaks of them. And as long as you think that they're fake, and as long as you think they're not real, You're different than Paul, who says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You're surely different from Daniel, who found out that it was the prince of Persia keeping back the one that was coming to help him whenever he was praying. I guess you're a lot different than Job, who got a firsthand taste of the Satan doing things to him. I guess you're a lot different than the gods of Egypt that God fought against. You think that they're not real. Let's go back to our text. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I hate the work of them that lie. That would lie on Obama, that would lie on Trump, that will lie on people in Congress, that will lie on me, that will lie on you, that will cause people their jobs. I hate the work of them that promote lies and tell my boys that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. That tell my children and your children that God didn't create the world. I hate that kind of work. I hate the kind of work where politicians can go out and they can sexually harass, do things to women, and we pay for it, and nothing is said. That they can give one justice to this person if he's black, one person to this if he's white, one to this one if he's a politician, one if he's a policeman. I hate the work of them that do evil, unjust. Injustice is evil. I hate the work of them that beat their children when the children don't deserve it. I hate the work of them that won't take care of their children. I hate the work of them that stand on TV and lie to me and shape my thoughts. Tell me who to hate and tell me what is breaking news for today and what is important for today. I hate the work of them that turn aside. That is used one time, that turn aside. And that's the work of them that are disloyal. I hate the work of them that say they love God and say it doesn't matter how we live. I hate the work of them that perpetuate and promulgate, like Dr. John Piper went to Angola prison and those black men and they said, we know that we got to obey the word of God. And we believe that if we disobey the word of God and don't live according to the word of God, he will cut us off. He said, that's not so. There's a documentary, you can see it. I hate the work of them that turn aside and that will rebel, that will still fornicate, that will still commit adultery, that will still, even as preachers, lay up with boys, lay up with girls. I hate the work of them that can go and be the nicest people in the world in church and come home and mistreat the family. I hate the work of them that go and hire somebody that you notice illegal and not pay them, which would pay somebody that is legal. I hate the work of them that beat people out of their money and they use the technicality to do so. David said, I have resolved to not set wicked things before me to look up to them and let them be something that I long for. I hate the work of them that turn aside and do rebellion. It will not cleave to me. It doesn't matter how popular it gets. David said, it will not cleave to me. Will it cleave to you? If you want to make 2019 the year that you walk as royalty, as a real royal priest, royal speaks of kingly, priest speaks of an individual that is able to go for God to others and then back to God for those. Are you going to really do this? What's your resolve? Have you resolved that it won't cleave to you? Then he says in verse 4, a froward, that's a perverse heart, shall depart from me. Have you ever had a perverse heart? I have. Thinking that I got time. Thinking that one day I'm going to stop doing this. Oh, one day I'll spend more time with God. Where right now I'm doing other things. Your heart is that perverse that you tell the king, I'm not wanting to be about your business right now. I'm going to be about yours. I don't really care about what the scriptures say right now because the scriptures were written. Let's say, but we don't know exactly know when Genesis was written, but some people say it was 4,000 years ago. And we say that, well, you know, Jesus, Yeshua lived close to 2,000 years ago, you know, subtracted about 11 years, and those scriptures are outdated. And so you determine The truth is based on time, whether it's in the past, whether it's in the present, or in the future, that truth will change. You must have never read the scripture where it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven." You must have never read the scripture where Yeshua says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away," Matthew 24:35. You must have never read Isaiah 40:8, where it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So what you do is you might take some of the stuff like our own, like the great books or some of these philosophy books that I have, or like those books I got over there, Will Durant, the History of the World. And so it's going to go with whatever goes on in the West. He says, "That will depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I will not be intimate with that kind of person. I will not unequally yoke myself with that person. I will not join leagues with that person. We will not have the same joint interests. I will not have fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but I will rather reprove them." Well, what about on my job? Well, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when he tells you don't eat with a fornicator. He says, if it's a brother, who calls himself a brother in the kingdom, then you know he's a fornicator. Don't eat with him that he may be ashamed. He said, but if they're not a brother, that's a different story. They're not in the family of God. Said, if that's the case, you got to go out the world. Paul said, look, we got a lot of sex here in Corinth. You better understand. Let me tell you what the slogan is in Corinth. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:12-13. They used to say, you know, meat's for the belly, and the belly's made for the meat. See, I guess they didn't know it was called hydrochloric acid, but the belly's made for meat. He said, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And so I can imagine a man can say, I got all of this. And the woman say, I got all of this. Why can't we come together and do some of this? They made to go together. This and this go together. And then some people say, we can make other things work. But he says, in all of your sexuality, it's for the Lord. So we see that I'm not going to know a wicked person to have joint interest with them. I would submit to you when I was in my wickedness and my ungodliness. I didn't make it publicly to everybody. But I loathed myself. I used to wish I could just get right with God and die. Like, what an abominable waste my life was. But you've heard that story before. And so he says, a froward heart, it will depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately or secretly slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Let me tell you something. You can kill a person, not only their reputation, you can cost them their job. You can cost them to go to prison. You can actually have a person locked up. And there have been many people put on death row because of slander. You can have people. Let me tell you what our media has done. Our media has made it where if you say 45 or what's his name? President Trump. I lost my thought. Some people get all upset. How did they get that much power over people that's supposed to be children of God, who's supposed to be praying? Who's supposed to know that nobody gets in any position of authority, whether they hook, crook, steal, or whatever, unless Yahweh does it. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, that was my servant. Darius was his servant. Cyrus, he called his anointed. Do you think any president we've ever had in America was worse than Caligula, who had sex with his own sister? His name is Gaius. I forget all the rest of his name. They called him Caligula. I think that meant little boot. But anyway, you can just look and see. His name is Caligula. Had sex with his own sister. Got her pregnant. Cut the belly open and ate it. And used to put up statues of himself and worship me as God. Yeah, I own books about the Caesars. But here's the other thing. Nero, Caesar Nero, during the time of Paul, do you know who he was? Who was in charge? Who, when they talk about pray for leaders, I want you to understand they had what you call the Hebrew leaders, and they still had to deal with Rome. They had to deal with Claudius. the one they said was stupid, okay? But he wasn't stupid. He had a speech impediment. If you ever learn about Claudius, you'll see that. But guess what? Nero got drunk, stomped his wife to death. And then after he got sober, we know the same one that would feed the people that were called Christians to the animals. Okay. Nero couldn't find another one that looked like his wife, so he found a boy that looked like his wife, castrated him, and married him. Have we ever had a president that bad? Now, some might say close. Well, even with that, who's king? But he says, whoso privately slanders, there's one thing to tell the truth. There's another to repeat what you've heard and hadn't even checked it out or not even checked your sources. But worse for us is when we slander each other, when we're not working to help each other. If you privately, sneakily, like ambushing somebody and waylaying them, like I see the animals on the animal pictures, I'm not going to have that person, David says. He said, I will cut him off. And him that have a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. If you're so proud that I know I ain't doing right now, but that's just the way I am. I've enlarged my wickedness, like Saul did Samuel. If you look at the 15th chapter, at the end of that 15th chapter, and you right before you get to maybe 15 and 16, Saul is told by Samuel the prophet, God's good with you. You know, he rejected you from being king. And I don't remember reading where he said, I pray for you. I would cry for you. And God said, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Quit praying for him. I've rejected him. But he says, well, just honor me in front of the people. Okay? Just go out and worship with me and just honor me this last time or this time. And so he went on with him, but he didn't come see him anymore. That's a proud look. Instead of saying, oh my God, what can I do? If I'm cut off, if God has rejected me, is there anything I can do to be back in his graces? If there's somebody he's going to replace me with, can I help that person? That's what Eli did with Samuel. Very first Samuel, chapter 1, 2, and 3. I ain't lying to you. He says, who privately slanders his neighbor, I will cut him off. As a king doing judgment, you cannot allow people to bring in slander to get in positions with you. To be able to be in your rule, you can't allow it in your home with children to mistreat others. And then he says, him that has a high look and a proud heart, him will I not suffer. You think somebody thinks more of themselves than God's word say? I won't suffer him. But we like people to have advantage. We'll like athletes. You know, they can wear a dress. They can walk around with a purse. Now, movie stars can do that. They can kiss each other in the movies. They can wear hot pants and they can simulate having all kind of different kind of sex. And we honor them. We see one like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so. Ah! And then you get the selfie camera like, I see. Look, it's me and Kidro. This is what we do. But David says, in order for me to have my resolution that I'm going to honor Yahweh, he says, those kind of people with a proud look and a stout heart, I will not suffer, even if it's my college professor. He got a proud look and I'm not going to suffer him. I may be in his class, but I'm not going to look to him as if he's the greatest thing. I won't even look to a pastor like that I know that have been making babies outside of marriage. They've been doing boys outside of marriage. That's out there stealing from people, lying, beating them out of. I'm not going to suffer that. And David said, I'm not going to have those kind of generals. David said, I'm not going to have those kind of servants. David said, I'm not going to have those kind of people over the farm. I'm not going to have it. What did God, that we as the people of God, determine in order for us to have a resolution to please Yahweh? We want to surround ourselves with people that love Yahweh in the same manner. And those that don't, we're trying to influence them instead of being influenced. Verse 6 says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, the one that's true, that they may dwell with me. Sometimes people say, you only want to be around Christian. Jesus was the friend of sinners. There's one thing to be the friend of sinners. So so that you're their friend, that you're helping them, trying to pull them away from being destroyed so that they can be delivered, which is what salvation is, as opposed to you trying to buddy up to them, make them like you so you can fit in, run into the same excessive riot that they do, doing everything that they do, whether it's state-sponsored holidays, whether it's state-sponsored saying, this is what we're going to do now, what we're going to call sexuality, this is what we're going to call your race. Who in the world ever told you that you could give a person a name and a classification and a categorization as a race of people? We're just going to call these people Indians because we want to. We're going to call all these groups of Spanish-speaking people Hispanic because we want to, so we can put them in a group and we can make things that deal with legalities. We're going to take this group of people, irrespective of where they came from, and we're going to just call you African American, whether you got a Hebrew background or whatever. We're going to do what we want to do. Quite amazing. Pretty arrogant. But it says, he that walketh in a perfect way will serve me. See, those, my eyes will be on the faithful of the land, that they will do righteously by the people, not wickedly. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. He that walketh in a blameless way, that's who. I'm gonna investigate who serves me. I ain't gonna just put the one that's got the most credentials. I wanna know something about him. I wanna know how he lives. He may have 3 PhDs, and this other man may just have a master's, and this other guy, really, he's just been doing the job 20 years. But everybody knows that when the owner is not there, he ain't have nothing to worry about. This man has integrity. The people know him. The people love him. When you look at his family, when the family come, the wife smiles. When the children, you notice. The other guy with the PhD, he's talking about all the places he graduated, where he's been, where he's traveled. Listen to me. Just because you travel don't make you deep in the game. You went to a land where somebody else already lives that's probably tired of living there, or they do live there. Where you live don't make you closer to God. You got to travel. Whoop-tee-doo. What did you do when you traveled? Did you fornicate, adulterate, sightsee, take pictures, whatever? What did you do for the kingdom? There are people that travel as missionaries, get beaten and killed and hurt by other nations. I'll honor that one. And do I think travel is fun? I think it will be absolutely fun. But it doesn't make you choose who's going to be in your house. And he says, the individual that walks blameless, that's the one that would serve me. So if he has a PhD and he knows how to serve, that's better in many cases. But he says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. If I know you're a liar, if I know you're cheating on your wife, listen to me. If I know you're cheating on your wife, I don't want you to work for me. Why would you say that, Tim? If I have a position of authority like the king, and you're cheating on your wife, and you're so good at it, she doesn't catch you. You're so good at it, your family doesn't know it. Or you have enough power to intimidate people that they say nothing. If you can do this with the woman that you lay in the bed with, or if she can do this with the man that she lays in the bed with, what would you be able to do to my kingdom? You've shown that you don't have the integrity that God wants. So he says, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Would to God we as people that say we love Yahweh and we love coming together in assembly would feel that way about many people that are in control or in charge. Say, it won't tarry in my sight. As a king, I will early destroy the wicked off the land. I will make terror come into thieves. I will make terror come into the liars. I will make terror come into the murderers, the rapists. He said, I like the way the New American Standard says it. I mean, it's the same thing, but look at how it says it. Every morning, I will destroy all the wicked of the land. That doesn't mean kill them. I'm going to get them off the land, because for some things, there was no death penalty. There was no death penalty for stealing. But he said, you're not going to be with me and do that. Would to God we would be like that in our assemblies, that we determine we want righteousness and holiness. When are we Let me say it like this for the sake of people that don't understand me. When are we as Americans that claim we love God going to start standing for righteousness in our land, in our homes, in our church? When are we to share my ethnicity going to look at us as being the bottom? Sometimes people look at us as being dung on the bottom of shoes. Look at us, people, that what we're going to give you to eat, we're going to train you to eat the intestines of a hog because we don't want it. We'll give you the ear of the hog. We'll give you the tail of the hog. We'll give you the neck bone. We'll give you gourds to eat. We'll give you what we don't want, and you can fix it up. And then you start saying, this is our food, and you get proud of it. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't have a good taste. The Bible tells us everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, but I want you to understand where you got it from. Just like many other such like things they gave us. Where do you think we get a lot of our holidays from? You think we had that when we came? Well, I'm telling you now, David said, I will early destroy the wicked off the land. Well, I want you to understand, we shouldn't be giving people anything in our pulpits. We shouldn't be giving people anything that's in our presence, something that they will learn and teach their children that's wrong or that's not beneficial to them. So is it every morning, I'll destroy the wicked off the land. I'll do judgment. So as to cut off from the city of Yahweh all those that do iniquity. If we're going to be the people of God, when are we going to start determining in our own home, we don't want to do lawlessness. We don't want to do iniquity. We want Yahweh to come into our home. But when we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, look at this, and it will be through. I will sing judgment to thee, O Yah, my Father. I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When will you come to me? You see, he was up a great while before day. You see, one time he prayed, he said, oh, he was getting ready to do the food. And he said, he prayed him and said, you know, you always here. Did the same kind of thing whenever Lazarus was raised from the dead. Did he allow wickedness to be before his eyes when the people start talking about, you cast out devils by the Beelzebub? In Matthew chapter 12, it said, then who do your children cast them out by? Then you tell me, let them be your judges. Then one time he told the man the sin was forgiven. You all want to contradict me? Me? That's wicked, because you don't understand who I am. I've already told you. So he just said, tell me which is easier to say. Your sins are forgiven. Arise, take your bed and walk. Well, we probably say it's just as easy, but take the content. Which is easy for you to see that I'm who I say that I am? For me to say that your sins are forgiven, or me to tell him to rise and take his bed and walk and get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Get up, dude, with the palsy. Take up your bed and walk. Mm-mm. And they say, who is this to forgive sin? Only God can do that. You got that right. as the old folks would say, you got that right, Sherlock. So it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, not did anything to deny who I am, anything to deny who the Father is, what is righteousness. Matthew chapter 23, he tells them, he shows them, I'm not with you all. He shows them, I'm not with righteousness. I mean, wickedness, it will not cleave to me. And he told Judas, what you do? Do quickly. Move on. A froward heart will depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. My man came to him and his heart wasn't right. I believe it's the 10th chapter of Mark. Good master, I will follow you anywhere you want to go. Good master. And no one. Jesus talked to him and he loved him. And then the man really, after he told him, sell all you have and follow me. The man couldn't do it. And then Jesus talked about him. The Bible said he loved him. He didn't beg him. He said, because he says, I won't know that kind of person. You didn't honor God above your stuff? He who privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off in a high and proud look, I will not suffer. When those people came around him like Simon,
if this man knew what kind of woman this is that's crying and wiping his feet with her hair, she is a sinner.
Jesus, she would say to her, Simon, I got something to say to you. There was two people that owed debts. You know the parable. If you don't, go read it. But one owed this much, and the other one owed this much. And he said he frankly forgave both. Which one do you love? Which one you think loved the most?
Well, I suppose.
Get out of my face. He said, God, this woman, she loved much. You love little. Her sins are forgiven. Wait a minute. Her sins are forgiven. Say it again. She loved much. You didn't. Her sins are forgiven. Do I have to spell out what he just told him? All right, then. And then he says, him that has a I look in a proud heart, I will not suffer. But didn't he suffer Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus! Calm down, boy. Get out of that tree. I got to go to your house today. And what Zacchaeus said, I'm all this. I got all of that. I'll give one fourth of my goods. I'm giving up. I just want to be where you are. Gary got us over there. I just want to be where you are. And he said, today salvation has come to your house. He got to give it all. Just do what's right. And then it says, my eyes will be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Guess what? John the Baptist was faithful. You have other people that were faithful at that particular time, especially his mother. Not Mariology, because she needed a savior. I've read the Bible. She needed a savior. But those that listen, that walk with him, the 12, at minus one, he that worketh in a perfect way shall serve me, those that listen. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. Did Judas leave? Absolutely. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. Did Judas have to leave? Of course he did. I will early destroy the wicked out of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. He dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees all of the time. But I want you to know this. If we are really the people of Yah, if we really are in his son, Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, then aren't these characteristics supposed to be in us? Aren't we supposed to be able to bring forgiveness to people? We can't grant it, but we're supposed to be able to bring it. Aren't we supposed to be able to exclude those who shouldn't be in our presence? Shouldn't we be those that will not deal with slander? Shouldn't we be reflecting him? If a person makes a resolution to please Yahweh, this is a great model. It makes me think of Psalm 15. I'm not going to quote it, but it makes me think of Psalm 15. I pray to Yah that we will have the mindset that we want the integrity that David asked for. Did David always do it? No. Somewhere he fell away. Somewhere he stopped doing judgment. And his son said, my dad is not doing it, so I'll do it. We have to go through our lessons on Second Samuel, starting around 13, and you'll see what happens. Father, I thank you for your graciousness and your power, your strength, your mercy, and your love. Help us to resolve to walk in righteousness and judgment, spreading your loving kindness, not associating ourselves to tie ourselves and cleave to those that are worthless children of Belial, that we will not walk around with a proud and arrogant heart, that we will seek out those who are faithful to you and love on them and help each other, and that every day our eyes and our minds will do justice, that we will not slander, that we will not do wrong to our neighbors, and that we will be the kind of people that builds up our own life, our home, where we work, our community, where we worship, so that your kingdom will be manifest in every sphere of our lives, even when we're on social networks. I ask this thing for all of us in the blessed name of your holy child, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I now open our class for discussion
If there's any discussion to be had tonight, let me go to the conference line and see if there's any discussion tonight. I don't think I have them on mute. I don't.
Would you say that this Psalms can go from, it seems, David referring to himself into talking about, or as if Christ is talking about himself, and as you progress through it, did you read anything on that or have any thoughts on that on your own?
I didn't read anything about it really dealing with the Christ that much. I'm pretty sure if I'd have just kept going through different books, I would have seen it. But just being familiar with how he dealt with integrity, how he dealt with people that almost in every situation, when he dealt with people that were liars. Remember the one guy, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Man who made me a judge or a divider over you. Let me tell you what the real issue. I'm going to show you what justice and righteousness is. Then he tells the story about the man that has the barn. And it filled up. And then he said, you know what? Man, I'm gonna tear this baby down, and I'm gonna build me some big ones. I'm gonna multiply. I'm gonna increase. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have a prayer at Jabez, and I'm gonna increase my whatever. I'm gonna say I'm gonna buy and sell and get gain. And he says, but then Yahweh said to him that night, "Thou fool, your soul gonna be required of you." And whose things will those be that you have provided? So is he that is rich in this world and not rich toward God. That was dealing with judgment. Here's an issue. Jesus treated the issue like there's a covetous. He treated this issue as if, you know, there's something higher than make you worried about what you're missing from your brother. I'm trying to help you see you're missing something much greater. Yes, I saw Christ in it because all of the judgment he's going to do in the end, I believe that many of the things that this psalm is doing, we're supposed to be doing as kingdom people, but many times we're part of the problem. Many times we don't speak, but the ungodly usually speak and always trying to make laws to control us. I don't know if that answered your question. If you want more specificity, drill in on it and I'll try to be more specific.
No, you answered it. This turn aside, is this, as you said, I think it could probably be possibly both as far as the principle. In verse 3, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Is this, would you say, principally talking about those just out in the world who have no desire to serve God, or this the one who is pretending to serve God and has turned it or rejected it.
Well, the Hebrew word here is setan. We would spell it S-E-T-I-M, although that's not, you know, the Hebrew letter, that's the transliteration. That's like one that swerves or revolts. This is the individual that deals in a disloyal way. New American Standard calls it falls away. This person seems to be a person who have walked with you, walked before, and they turned, and they have influence. Now, some of my Calvinistic brothers, this is the way they explain it. They would say the ones that are really, really staunch, you know, the whole tulip thing that we've talked about before, they weren't ever really saved. They were just pretending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess if that were true, then wouldn't we say that Adam pretended to? Because he was put off. And Jude would have had to been wrong, because Jude said the Lord, after having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And I guess the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, he didn't understand. You see, he came about
a little over 1400 years before John Calvin, the writer of Hebrews didn't know that those people turned away from Yah, and that what they did was when they turned back, they were cut off. He would tell you that they just died. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them died and they were able to recapture a relationship with him. You think if you seen everybody die this year, next year, the year after, you think that, you know, that your heart might want to change? But some of them will get cut off before they could change. And still, I know what the Bible teaches in Numbers. They still had all that mouth after that. Yeah, they did. They had mouth. That's why in chapter 20, you know, they were complaining. And Yah sent serpents, fiery serpents, to bite them. Well, they were gonna die in the wilderness in chapter 14. Okay, so anyway, that's my little statement on that. Those that fall away, turn away. I believe they really turned away from the truth, which is exceedingly possible. And then it says there are some that pretend. I know that's possible. But to say that people can't turn away and they can't go back to where they were, then Peter was wrong when he said you can turn from the holy commandment and be like a dog and eat his vomit. The dog ate the food first. Duh. That's why it's called vomit. I've seen vomit before. It comes out of the person. They say they eat their own vomit. I'm listening.
I think this verse, let me say, I just lost my, I think this is verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I don't know what the word is for no, but it makes me think of the verse. One of the passages of scripture, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. So some people say, since he never knew you, instead of looking at how you've been classified or based on your deeds, how I view you now, it's like, well, he never knew him, going back to that Calvin thing. So if you look at 4 right here, there seems to be a similar notion right here. So I think that's just something to think about right here. That's another thought that I had right there. What say you?
Why you use words like that what with me? I'm like, what?
I just came to my mind to say it that way.
Be careful. Well, when it says, I will know, we talk about knowing the intimate sense, to be a partaker of. And that's like when I mentioned about being unequally yoked. That's really where in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul talks about the things that were going on in that church, and they had done things with idols, and he told them, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Yes, and don't even, thank you, precious love, and added that part that my mind left off, and touch not the unclean thing, then I will receive you. That's when he's going to come into us and we'll be his sons and daughters. And that metaphor being sons and daughters also is the same thing as we'll be in the temple that he's walking in us. When there's something we shouldn't know, there are some things we shouldn't yada. That's the word there. Some things we should be ignorant of. We shouldn't be ignorant of Satan's advice.
That's the Hebrew word yada.
Yes, yad. You see, is some people say Ada, but in the transliteration they have Yada, but the word is Ada. It's got, because it has what is called a yod. It looks like a comma, but it has the vowel. It has the, what do y'all call that word? Phonetic sound, or what do y'all call that word? When the sound of the phonetic sound of a letter.
I mean.
When you say
phonetic, it deals with a sound, but is it like a Y when you say yod?
Yeah. Yad. I don't know. Okay. Is that what y'all call a phoneme or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I get phonemes, morphemes, and I start getting those confused, but I do know what you're saying.
Okay, because I just knew it has it. I just know what the letter is. I know the sound it makes, but
so
I don't
are
know.
Are you saying that the yada is used analogously as like an intimate knowing spiritually as a part of the family of God?
The word is ada, but it's, you know, they have a yod. You can see yod. I can see yod up under it. Because I use the interlinear, so mm-hmm. when I can see the manuscript, I can see the transliteration, I can tell you the parts of speech. You know, I got all that stuff on my computer, but let's just use ada. But you know, they use the word sometimes yada to know. Here it's saying ada to know, to notice, to be revealed, and your context. You're dealing with the issue of being intimate with someone, to have a real knowledge of them, not just where you have a perspective or a guessing. Not when people have ignorant conjecture. They've carried the Bible 2 months, and they mm-hmm. watch the TV preacher. Now they know the Bible, mm-hmm. and they say, "My God is not like that." Ooh. Well, they're yeah. telling the truth. Their God is not like the God of the scriptures for real. But they think they're talking about the one of the scripture. You don't know him.
So you're, okay, so because in some languages, and I'm not trying to like take it all on languages, because there's a no where you're like acquainted or familiar because of having talked to someone or spent time with that person versus somebody told you something or you just read something and you have this mind knowledge. And I don't mean to just put it on experience, but that's sort of what it means. So when I was saying that about depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you, in the sense of, it sounds like in this, where is it? Fourth verse, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. It sounds like the person there, if you're departing from him, it's almost like there's been some kind of dealing. But it's going to be like, I don't even know you. That's kind of what I was asking. Would you say there's a similarity there?
Since we're using words and I'm having to explain my words and you putting words in my mouth to understand me, to help you understand me better, let me tell you what I do know.
Okay.
Adam knew Eve. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And we know that means they had sexual relationships,
right?
And that means he became one with her, and she was one with him. And now he knows her not only physically, intimately. They've joined together. The word there for know is yada. The lemma, the word that you would look up if you were looking it up in a dictionary, would be yod. Like what we had on the other one. There's a little difference in the other one that's ada as opposed to yada. But this is the way Morris Proctor explained lemmas, because I didn't know what a lemma was years ago. So if you want to look up the word running, you don't look up the word running. You look up the lemma, run. Mm-hmm. And then when you look up the word run, you'll find out it can be like running an office, running, or that you run this to so-and-so. The words used so many ways, but you got a root, running, runner. So, but your lemma is the same. So they still in the same family. Okay. Is that helping any?
Yes.
The root of the word, whatever the suffix is or whatever prefix you put on it, you still got that root run. In the word yod or to know, a yod, it is, you got either, it can be yada, ada, and they overlap. You know, you got an intellectual as well as an intimate. And your context, when you're doing these words, you have to also deal with context, because we use words so many ways. I don't even know what it's called, but you know, if somebody say, man, you got a bad car, and somebody that don't speak the language says, what is wrong with this car? It looked good to me. Why did you say the car is bad? It's not a bad car, but it's like, we mean good. So in this case, when we're talking about no, it goes past just the definition, because you got to know, to notice. These are the glosses. To know, notice, hear, or learn, to reveal. So now as you're looking at reveal, you're looking at there's an intimacy. And so as Gary was speaking before, when he was talking about the context, it seemed like there was an intimacy. A perverse heart will depart. You're going to get the heck away from me. I will know. I remember I said be naive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to be naive to that. I don't want to have intimacy with that. I don't want the knowledge of that to be a part of me. But for the king to say, I don't know what rape is. I don't want to know what that is. He can't be talking about just the knowledge, because you got to judge murderers, rapists, thieves, slanderers.
But I won't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Yes, but rather reprove them.
Right.
Okay.
It's 5, right?
Yeah, I think it's 5 and 11. Look and see if Tim right. It is. Yay! You know, you get older in your memory, you think,
oh, that's what this really reminded me of, Ephesians 5. Oh, a part of the end of 4 and 5.
Uh-huh.
Because it talks, it's like, but you have not so learned Christ. There are certain things that's supposed to happen when you have had the mercy of the Lord and you recognize it. And you know he's translated you from darkness to light. There's a thankfulness because of the mercy, but there's also a duty because of the mercy. And that's what it seems like David is saying, I'm praising the mercy. And now it's on to the judgment. And so there must be a difference in me because I have experienced the mercy. Now, not to say I'm just going to go out and lambast everybody, but if you've experienced the mercy, there is a duty to move on, to grow up, to be perfected in him. So when you like reading through Ephesians 4, the end of it, and going on to 5, he's doing that. He's making that distinction. Say it's something that's supposed to change. Something is supposed to happen. People are there to help you to get to that place that you no longer toss to and fro. You're supposed to be different. You've experienced Christ. You have not so learned him in this way. If you have so learned him, then do this and do this. And it's all about what's going on inside of you and your relationship to the outside world, anybody you have contact with. And so that's what it was like. This sounds like Ephesians, like he's saying, it sounds like what Paul is saying, that there must be a difference in you because you've experienced the mercy and you understand that you must move on and go on to the judgment and start, you know, actually executing his judgment and his ways in the earth.
And that's where maturity is. Many of us that call ourselves Christians, believers in the Bible, students of the scriptures, we don't want maturity. We just want to sing. We just want to do what we call worship. But the ungodly, oh my God, they know that they must rule in order to have their kingdom, even if they don't really pontificate it. Those that shape the way the world goes, whether we're going to build when they put settlements, a base in this country, or whether we're going to make this country an ally, whether we're going to import from this one, whether we're going to say, well, you can't use this kind of fabric softener, whether you're going to make this law, they determine what you're going to teach in your schools. They're on it. But the people of the children of God, we don't want to make righteous decisions. Just let me stick my head in the sand and say, kumbaya down here, kumbaya. It's sad. We don't want to grow up. Because it's hard. Oh. You don't think it's hard for them? They spend fortunes. They spend fortunes. They risk being ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of till they change the culture, and they're the ones that's praised. Look at the church. Look at the church. Look at the assembly of believers, how we act. Lord, have mercy on us. Anything else? Anyone else? Anything else, Andrina?
You can read Ephesians and go through that a little bit. You can work your way through that because it seems like a parallel to me, like it really is.
You're talking about here where, well, we definitely want people to know that this one is on the podcast, Ephesians 4.
Okay.
But Paul's, Ephesians 4, and I believe 5, if not, we'll redo it. It's been there for a few years. But Ephesians 4 really deals with, like you said, what Paul said, he's the prisoner of the Lord. I don't get to do my own thing. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Have that mindset, have that resolution that you are called to follow Yah with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Love is not just, you know, I got eyes to see, but I ain't gonna judge. No, you judge righteous judgment. I have words to speak, but I'm not gonna criticize. You criticize when it's necessary for the kingdom of Yah. You don't criticize because you got a preference. You don't like what she or he said or what he does. See, we experienced that last night. Somebody's preference and they was in the wrong. But he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit, not a spirit, the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth is revealed through the words of Jesus, Yeshua, John 6 and 63. The words he speak, their spirit and life. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond, that's like the glue, the connection of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's not 50 or 60. One Lord, Yeshua, the Son, or Yahshua, because, you know, you say Yahshua because you understand his name is in him, Yahweh's Son and the Holy Spirit. One Lord, one faith, the faith of the Hebrew people, the faith of the olive tree, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob, the faith that Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you believe me. He wrote of me, the faith of Revelation, the song of Moses. Well, what about the New Testament? He said he's going to write his laws in the heart of those people. Jeremiah 31 through 34 in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism into the body of Christ, one baptism into Jesus, one baptism where he baptizes you in the spirit. And guess what? It's a death. I know one man calls it a blood baptism. It's a death. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You're given grace to fulfill this role. Wherefore, he said it when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When he ascended up on high and he got the kingdom, Daniel 7, the Son of Man was carried up to the Ancient of Days. They presented him. And the Ancient of Days gave him kingdom, dominion, power, authority over all tongues, all nations, all languages. They must serve him. Take my yoke now. Learn of me. And then in Colossians, it said, when he ascended, he took captivity captive. He triumphed over them in it, a procession like the Romans used to do and like the Assyrians used to do, and they used to make the people walk naked. It says he gave gifts to men. But here's the beautiful thing. He that ascended, Now that he ascended, what is he descended to? The lower parts of the earth. He descended into what we call Hades. He descended in what they call Sheol. I am the Lord of heaven, earth, and under the earth. I am over that. And he descended to that, and he proclaimed his word there. He let them know that your time is short. I am here. He spoke to those beings. He that descended is also the same that descended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. That's why he can tell you where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. And he gave some that were sent, apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave those that are sent. He gave some pastors and shepherds, teachers, that they could teach the word. Evangelists, those that preach, and you have pastors and teachers. That's the five-fold ministry. Do you understand that one person could do every one of these things? One person. You can count five as you want to, or you can count four and say pastors and teachers are the same thing. But are you going to focus on counting the number? Are you going to focus on what it's for? It's for the very thing that people say, you can't be perfect. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the perfecting. It's for the growing up of the saints. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight and craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You think that certain things you do, certain things you hear, certain things you participate in is innocent. Certain things they teach your children in school, certain things they tell you in the news, certain things that you see in movies are innocent. It's not. The prince and power of the air is always using triggers that make you walk away from God. You can get enough fake Louis Vuitton that you don't even know a real one when you see it. Yeah, you can. And then he says, I already quoted that, golly. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up to him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Guess what? We grow up in him. We rule. We know him. Our resolution is to grow up in him and avoid the things that would take us down and away from the Messiah. I hope that helped you a little bit with what you asked me to do, to go over that a little bit, because I like Ephesians. Remember the first time I think I read it, I was 17.
If you touch on a little bit of five,
too. On who? Five?
Yeah.
What you want on five? Tell Tim. We talk about, be ye therefore followers of me as I am of Christ. Be therefore followers of me as dear children and walk in love as Christ of love, doth and has given himself an offering.
Followers of God as dear children.
You see, the thing is, if you're going to do that, you need to know him. That's where eternal life is. It's not your feeling, not a spirit. It's not a feeling where other people say, spirit told me. The word of God teaches you who he is. And then you go back to in love, but then verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let that stuff be away from you. Don't put an evil thing before your eyes. Don't do it. Don't dwell on it. Neither foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. Move those kind of forward people from you. Neither the whoremongers or covetous. They don't listen. Your church may tell you can be a carnal Christian and you can still go to heaven and just lose rewards. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and I want you to hear it carefully, for this know that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous person or an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Imagine going to church all those years, and as they used to say in that old song, isn't that great getting up morning, fare you well, isn't that great getting up morning, fare you well, and you find out you're going to hell. Imagine no inheritance, because you didn't prepare your mind to serve Yahweh. You didn't make a resolution to follow him. And so he says, you can let people deceive you if you want to, but Paul says, let no man deceive you, because of these things come the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. People say God has not called us to wrath, right?
Well, he didn't call you that. You chose it.
So don't be partakers with them. Stay away from them. Say you were sometime darkness. Now walk in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. One of my nicknames, I tell my wife, I say, the light wants you to get that from me. Yeah, I speak of myself as the light in the third person, don't it, Gary? Because until we learn that we are reflected lights, we might not act like it. So I say, yes. And so it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to Yahweh, not to everybody. Because a lot of times what's acceptable to Yahweh is not acceptable to the church. It's not acceptable to people to say they love God. It's not acceptable to the masses. It's not acceptable to some pastors. It's not acceptable to certain groups that you'll be in that say they love God. They're more interested in what they see on TBN. They're more interested many times in being popular. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Jeremiah preached and they wanted to kill him. Yeah. God, Yahweh, told Isaiah, and Yesi Yahoo, I think that's how you say, if they really say his name, it says, they ain't going to listen. I tell you what, if I sent you to another nation, they'd hear you. But he said, they have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather reprove them. They don't want to hear it. When you have the Holy Spirit, you'll do that. The Holy Spirit, John 16:8-8, when he has come, I'm going to send him in my name. If I don't go, he won't come. But he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm going to end because I feel like I keep talking. I ain't getting enough questions. Okay. You all, I thank you for joining. I really appreciate it. And may the grace of Yah be on you. As he told Aaron, well, you know, he said, when you finish, you leave saying, may he bless you, keep you, lift his countenance upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. And I'm sure the word would be shalom. Sure. Good night, you all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. In that crate, getting up morning, fare you well. In that great morning, fare you well. I don't know all the words to that song. Farewell. Farewell. A great, great getting up morning.
Farewell.
What is it called? Fare thee well? Fare. So I think it's fare ye well. Fare. Like you.
Fare.
Yeah. Like you farewell. Fare.
Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life, freely take from the waters.